That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, December 23rd. Almost over December is for us. We've got another, 7 or 8 days, but we thank you for joining us. We got a full crew this morning. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
And Tim, down in Nebraska, good morning, or over in Nebraska. It's not down, just good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Guess you're down from Montana, but that's about it. And Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And I miss anybody else? Anybody else come on? Well, we
got an echo there coming off of those guys there, though, pretty bad.
Okay. And good morning to you, Remnant. We thank you for joining us. And we got the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And Jason, would you open us up in prayer before we get going anymore?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you continue to guide and direct the Remnant. Father, that you be with their each and every needs, that you just do a mighty work with your people and through your people. And I pray, Father, that they not lose heart on things that are taking place, but they be encouraged by the things that are taking place. And Lord, we pray that your people have a good attitude and just that they can smile at the future, Father. We know you're in control, and we know that you're our God, and we are your people, and we're thankful and grateful for that. We just ask, Father, that you just continue to be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. And that sounded like somebody jumping back on.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Josh. How are you?
Mighty fine.
Good, good. Good, good. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. We thank you for your prayers. We were able to get Volume 8 newsletter in the mail Thursday. So it's in the mail. Of course, it's kind of the winding up the busiest week that the post office has in the year. But that's okay. We do ask you to let us know. Send us a text or an email or something. Let us know when you when you're getting that next week. Should have it in your hands before the end of the year, before the beginning of the new calendar year. And we were able to put page one of the 2024 Bible reading plan in there. And I think we got it big enough you can follow it. And we've got plenty of these printed out. We'll be glad to send them to you. We're not just going to send out the thousands to everybody. But if you want one, you let us know. And we have had many people that have said, hey, send me two or three. Had that in this last batch of mail. And had several that said, send me 10 or 20. And we've done that as well. And so we'll be glad to send them to you. And we've got it in a emailable PDF form as well. We can do that. And just to try to encourage you to provide another tool. You know, you can rebuild an engine with a crescent wrench. But if you have the right tools, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier if you have the right tools. And I think this Bible reading plan is just that. It's just it's another tool to help you to maybe a little motivation, whatever it may be, a little plan to help read the Bible through and hopefully read it with, been trying to encourage people to read it with the understanding that the Bible is a story about a people, not mankind, not the whole world in his hands. He has that, but that's not what the Bible's about. The Bible's about God dealing with a people. And same people, just like the new covenant is with the same people that the old covenant is with. You've heard that from everybody on this ministry. And so we encourage you. And if you pass the Bible reading plan out, you know, maybe encourage people to read it with that understanding that, listen, this is to one people. And how those people throughout history deal with other peoples, right? With other peoples, and how they deal with them. But it's God dealing with people he chose and his covenants. And anyway, I know that sure made a big difference in my life, reading through it with that outlook. So we do have the Bible reading plan. Be glad to send it to you. And again, keep an eye in the mail next week, toward the end of next week, for the Volume 8 Dragon Slayer. There's some new stuff in it as well as some review, but I think it'll be a good encouragement for the remnant. Well, guys, I'll turn it over to you because I'm working on not much of a voice here.
Well, it is. We're fastly approaching Christmas Day too. Want to say Merry Christmas. Dad did a couple messages on Christmas and. Hopefully, we'll be able to get those emailed out if you're on our email mailing list, so we can email the links out so that you can have them. But that was the two of them. On them and write to us and request them or email us. We can send you a link to them. But it's looking at Christmas and do you see what I see is two of them. And I can't remember. There was a third one. We were talking about it a day or two ago, Richard. Do you remember what the name of the last one was?
Yeah, I think it's Joy to the World.
Joy to the World. Yeah, that was another really good one, too. And anyway, good information in there, you know, and, you know, really, really good timeless messages. I listened to the Do You See What I See the other day, and, I mean, it hit, and, you know, just basically, you know, it was an encouraging message. And when there's so much discouragement and, you know, doom and gloom, that people tend to dwell on in the world today, it gives you a breath of fresh air and is really encouraging. And I encourage people to do that. And as we close out this, you know, calendar year of 2023 and enter 2024, it's you know, it's a changing of a day on a calendar, but it's also it can be a time of new beginnings and changes. And There's going to be new challenges for 2024. There's going to be new blessings, and there's going to be new over things to overcome. But just want to encourage people that as we do that stay positive. You know, your mental attitude has so much to do with your spiritual well-being, your happiness, the joy that we can have in the Lord. And our enemies are just constantly trying to rob us of that. And, you know, take that away and take away the joy of the Lord that we're supposed to have. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot on here. You know, where is the joy? And, you know, just encourage people, you know, keep track of your attitudes. Try to have a good attitude, because sometimes all it takes is a conscious effort and say, wait a minute, you know, I've got a bad attitude. I need to change it. It can completely turn things around for you. And I know there's a lot of people that, you know, end of the year, they get this doom and gloom that comes over them. And there's a lot of people that struggle with it. They say that, you know, I remember talking with Rich Goodwin and a couple other gentlemen, and they said that, you know, they said that it was a really bad time for alcoholics. People tend to drink a lot more at this time of year, and a lot of people start from before around Thanksgiving time and drink until the end of the year, and do it every year just because they're trying to cope with the doom and the gloom. And you know, we don't need to do that, but it's something that there's definitely a spirit that can come on people when they let it. And that's what, you know, just encourage people to have a good attitude, stay positive, and it can make all the difference for you and those around you also.
Wow. True. Really, really true. Right. You know, whenever you're feeling that, and I just talked to somebody about that yesterday, and I was like, whenever you're feeling drugged down and low and put out, you know, you need to stop, drop it, and just commit that to Christ. I mean, He's the joy point of all creation and all time and everything else. And when we do that, that renders that. I think that's just it's wickedness that we're depressed. We shouldn't be depressed ever. And I'm not saying I don't get that way occasionally too, but you bet. Good stuff.
Well, depression is one thing, mourning is another. I mean, we've got different things that we can do, and, you know, there's a time for everything, but there's a time to, you know, get up and to shake it off and to get over it and to move on. And, you know, that's what, you know, got to encourage people to do it, because it's like, you know, I know with my 6-year-old, he was having a bad attitude the other day, and it was going on. And it didn't take a whole lot, and all of a sudden, you know, Dad noticed that he was having a bad attitude, and you know, decided that we needed to correct this, and we corrected it real fast, and you know, he had a completely different attitude after that.
Amen. Yeah. Well, and better that you correct your own, right? Than God has to correct it.
Yeah, it's a lot less painful whenever you do it yourself.
It is. It is. And it's a lot less stress on everybody around you, too.
I was doing a little bit of reading, and I was reading about one of the things that popped up that I thought was interesting, just in passing, was the fact that all these quote-unquote blue states are losing population like crazy, you know, and they're all, I mean, we're talking about California losing, you know, 80,000 people so far this year. New York's over 102,000. Illinois is over 30,000. And these people are, you know, they're leaving these states because of oppression. And, you know, a lot of these political pundits say red state, blue state, and I'm like, no, it's more God, anti-God, you know. And then, I don't know why, but it just suddenly occurred to me, I was thinking of Christ's birth being, you know, Christmas time, and what it makes you think about things. And one of the thoughts that occurred to me was, yeah, Mary and Joseph were on the road too. You know, they were in the process of traveling, and they were uprooted and had to go do this thing when Christ was born. I mean, the only populations that are growing in these anti-God states are homeless populations, and they're going crazy. And if you think about it, at the time Christ was born, he was homeless as far as obviously the whole world was his, but still, he said he had no place to lay his head. So there's some interesting takeaways and crossovers there that give you pause to reflect on. I just didn't put some things together that kind of were like, wow, that's strange, this time of year and all that.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
one of the things that I thought was interesting, I just seen a news article on it, and we've talked about it quite a bit on here, is the Monsanto Corporation. And it was kind of neat because they got hit. And I just want to read part of it, and then we can comment on it. But it says, Monsanto, the company that is now owned by the German pharmaceutical company Bayer, was ordered to pay by a jury in Washington State to pay $857 million to seven individuals connected to a Seattle area school who became ill due to exposure to chemicals known as PCBs that leaked from light fixtures. The jury determined that the company should be held liable for selling the chemicals that were used at the school because they were unsafe and did not come with sufficient warnings. The amount of the verdict included $784 million in punitive damage, as well as $73 million of compensatory damages to the victims. Each victim will receive a various amount of compensation and $112 million in punitive damages. And it talks about this company, and I knew Monsanto was into the seed market and into the fertilizer business and everything like that, but I really didn't know what these PCBs were, and they call them polychlorinated biphenylenes. And they use them for insulating electrical equipment. It was also used in the paints and floor finish and carbon copy paper in caulking and all different kinds of things. And I had no idea that the Monsanto company was involved in building any of that stuff. But it's one of those corporation giants that has done a lot to poison people. And it's kind of neat to see them taking some heat over it. I don't know if anybody else had any more information on that or not, but it's some interesting stuff.
Well, Monsanto took a lot of heat over Roundup, when that was getting exposed, and then they sold out to Bayer, which is like you said, a German company. So it's just a huge conglomerate, and they just suck up businesses and left. And they are children of the devil, and they love to see us in misery. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're doing a really good job of it. A guy told me the other day that papers that they wrap them burgers in McDonald's and all the other places are just toxic as heck. And I forget what was in them, but he said, why are they doing that to us? But that's their nature.
That's what they do. They have to do it.
Yeah, it's their nature. They could care less we live or die. Their bottom line is profit at anybody's expense.
It targets in there with that Ephesians 5 and 11, where it says, do not participate in the useless deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And, there's no transparency with those outfits like that. And they just, everything they imagine is evil. I mean, it's just like when you get into those, it's this endless rabbit hole of bad. It just never stops. It's cascading downhill destruction. And, usually the first question that comes into your mind is why? When you begin to understand the deeds of darkness and the deeds of light, why becomes a lot more apparent, even though we can understand darkness, but it's a, yeah, they're all only interested in destruction. And they do it in secret.
It's not even so secret anymore.
No. Well, that's that light. We're exposing them and shining the light on them, where God is. So, you know, it's wonderful.
Well, you'd think like a judgment up in Washington would affect a company with that much money. I don't know if it does or doesn't, but even the Budweiser thing, they're still functioning. And you'd think they'd have to go out of business, but they don't. They just keep going. But, yeah. Well, this fractional reserve, they can just create money anyway. And if you're on the inside, they just send you some more.
But that is one of the reasons why it's so important that we do pray to be covered, and pray over the food that we eat and everything we do every day.
Amen.
Because most
Amen.
Of the time, you don't know what's going on until after the fact. And but God has always protected and delivered His people.
Well, I think those evil people are just sitting around in awe. God says that, you know, no deadly poison will affect us, and that we'll do those things that are that way. And I think they just it's like, wow, look at all this stuff we're doing to them, and it's still, how is that? It's divine providence, protection from God, you know.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just saying we're still prospering, not just surviving, but prospering. But it's just because of, you know, as a country, we are dealing with the consequences of sin, but God still loves us, and He still wants to bless us. And when we do what we're supposed to be doing, and, you know, your six-year-old might have a bad attitude, but as long as your 16-year-old doesn't, they're probably not going to get as much repercussion. They might have to hear dad fuss, or, you know, you might not go buy ice cream for everybody or some little something like that, but they're not going to feel the same wrath if they're not being part of that problem. And thankfully we're not. I mean, we got to deal with a certain amount of judgment because we have a certain amount of wrongdoing that we're responsible for. I mean, none of us are perfect, and we're not where we're supposed to be. But thank God we have the blood to cleanse us and purify us and perfect us. And as we abide in that every day, we don't have to suffer the same destruction that the rest of the world does. And then we should have that attitude that even if we do, if we're standing where we're supposed to be, that, hey, if that's God's will, that is what it is, because we've already gotten so much more than we've ever deserved.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that it's important, like we've talked about here, you know, we vote with our dollars and we make stand and we say no. I mean, that's why, you know, that's why Budweiser is taking a hit, you know, to their economical system, and that they, you know, lost so much money over the years, is because when people saw it, they, you know, they said something and they realized that, hey, we don't want to have a part of this. And they're suffering because of it, you know, but people stood up and made a stand. Same thing with Disney. And I thought it was interesting because just this week, Bob Iger, I think he's 73 years old, CEO of Disney, says that we lost sight of its role and we need to work on entertaining rather than pushing a political message. And basically told everybody that's working in Disney, hey, we're going to stop with this woke stuff, and we're going to stop trying to push a political agenda or anything like that, and we're going to go back to what we're supposed to be doing, and that's entertaining people. But they've lost billions and billions of dollars over it because that's what they tried to do, you know. And I think that it, you know, holds true to the theme, you know, go woke and go broke. You know, people didn't want to hear it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They're done with it. And, you know, that's a form of protest. That's a form of saying no. That's a form of saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And, you know, it's effective.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of times, you know, I just talked to somebody 2 days ago about that, and we were talking about doing different things, you know, and he said, well, sometimes you just wonder what the point is of doing the right thing, you know, or whatever. And I said, trust me, God's watching, and he's keeping score, and it doesn't matter whether, I said, you know, it doesn't matter whether there's just one of us out here doing what's right or whether there's 100,000 of us or a million of us doing what's right. God, that remnant protocol says that I'm going to protect my remnant, and they will be there for me. And the countdown always goes to zero. I mean, that's kind of one of those things that, you know, if there's a timer clock on God's wrath and God's retribution and him straight speak, that clock is going to go to zero before he does things. I mean, and, you know, wherever's, I don't know where zero's at. I mean, you know what I'm saying, but the point is that countdown is going to be when God says that's zero, and he's going to take care of it. And in the meantime, he knows we do the right thing, and our reward for doing the right thing is the fact that we do the right thing, and God will, he's faithful, he will reward us. You're not always going to get kudos, you're not always going to be famous, you're not always going to have everybody think you're the greatest guy in the world or whatever, and it doesn't matter. As long as things are right between you and God and you've done the right thing, that's what matters, you know. So which sometimes that's a, like my granddad used to say, that's a tough row to hoe, but you know, it's get after it.
Well, and every time you see that movement going in that direction, we need to remember the fact that's answered prayer, you know, because we've prayed about all this a lot, and that's God moving and working, and we should be thankful for it.
Amen.
Well, he's putting us in a position. He's going to do a great thing, and you know, there isn't one of us that's going to help him. He's not going to share his glory with anybody, and I just feel that he's putting us in this position. He warned us to cut ourselves off from Babylon so we don't suffer sudden and swift destruction. Now, I think that separation, you know, I did a lot of crazy things in my day. You know, I drove a truck with no license plates and no insurance on for 2 years, and I thought, well, if we did that, we'd still have a mess. So it's a bigger thing than that. I do believe that separation is primarily a mental separation because we are stuck in this system and we have to deal with it to some degree. But we have hope. You know, we have the gospel and stuff like that, and we got to stand on it. And, you know, he took Israel across the Red Sea out of Egypt, and he has delivered them into the United States. I mean, if you know that journey, you know he's got a plan for us. And he calls it a remnant, a small amount. Not very many people see this or know it or even are looking for it. But he's putting us in a position where our Babylonian idols are going to be destroyed. And just like we talk about all that money that they got to pay back in Washington, well, that's got to hurt a company. I don't care how big they are, you know, plus the credibility. You know, and people are becoming aware of what they're really doing, you know, and all this stuff. It's just amazing. It's kind of, if you start dwelling on it too much, you become real useless. You know, that Mike Adams, too, I quit listening to that guy. I mean, he's got a lot of truth. You got a lot of truth, but very little gospel. And that wears on you. It, you know, wears on me, and I've been down the road a ways, and I just don't need to hear all that. And I know he's right in a lot of things, but I just kind of come to the point, I just kind of delete him once in a while. I'll read one of those things, somehow I got on his email. But, you know, you can't dwell on it. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's hope. And that's what we got to have, because that's all that's going to take us through this. We're going to find out who's who. I was reading in Jeremiah the other night and about the against the false prophets in chapter 28, and then Hananiah's false prophecy. He's telling me, you know, this is, but here's what God said: backslidden attitude that this nation has. But here, these people are they're in slavery, and he said in verse 5 of verse chapter 29, I believe, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit from them, take wives, and beget sons and daughters. So he's telling us, since we are in slavery, we are to go on. I remember Pastor Peters one time said, you know, don't think you're getting out of a system that God put you in. And that changed my whole attitude about things, because we're not taking the system down. It's going to be self-destructive. You know, they built a trap for us, but I think it's going to consume them before this is over. They're drunk on the blood of the saints is what they are. It's beyond it. They got a spiritual drive that's bigger than money also. So that's my take on it. But, you know, we are in Babylon. We're in slavery. And he will, you know, but we have a price to pay for our backslidingness as a nation. You know, when the law goes out of the church, the law goes out of the world, because that is the salt of the earth. Charles Finney was an evangelist, and he had absolutely no religious background. He went to become a lawyer, and they kept referring to the Bible and referring to the Bible. He started reading the Bible, and he became an evangelist like no other, you know, just amazing. But see, he came with no luggage, and that makes a huge, when you defend your religion that you were raised in and stuff like that, the truth don't need defense. If you're in a bad, I was raised in John Calvinism and stuff like that, and if you can't let go of that, it's going to stifle, drag you right down, because you're trying to keep bringing those two systems together. Well, that system needs to go, because that's nothing but Roman Catholicism. They baptize babies, they eat pork, and they put their money out to usury. So they have not really separated. And what the real issue is, it's God's law or man's law. And that's all we have in front of us right now, as we know it, is man's law, unless we've been reading it. But we got this problem that we have, and it's national. And there's always going to be a remnant that's saved, because you go read on through there too. He does restore it, but you have to pay the price of it. You will be punished for your sins, no matter. You know, he ain't going to abandon us, but he's going to punish us, and I believe we're being punished at the moment. So I guess that's good news.
Well, when we were younger, earlier on, and the Patriot stuff and this and that and then the Christian side of that. I mean, we were discouraged from having children. You know, woe unto those that give suck. And, you know, just how terrible everything was. And, you know, the time's not right and this and that. And, you know, thankfully, finally, we grew to a point where we're like, well, no, that's not, you know, that's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be found, just like with the scripture you just read, doing what we're supposed to be doing and prospering. Is it all going to be perfect? No, it's not perfect, but we're not perfect. But whenever you're in God's will, then you can be in his perfect will. And there's peace that comes with that, and there's assurance, and you can't go wrong whenever you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
The other morning I was in the coffee shop, and this lady, she's real self-righteous and vain, and she said, man, I pity these kids today, you know. I said, you know what, lady? Look who raised these kids. I said, just look who raised them, you know, because I said the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and everybody under 20 lived, and all the old people died, so it makes you wonder what's going on here. Didn't know what to say.
Yeah, that'll Control-Alt-Delete.
Another lady in the restaurant, I go, she asked me if I had my Christian shopping done. I said, well, you know, I don't really shop. I buy. If I want some, I just go get it. And she says to me, why do we lie to our children? You know, and that was so neat. You know, I'm sure she referred to Santa Claus and all that stuff. But, you know, what she said, why do we lie to our children? You know, and that's the truth. I mean, you turn anything on TV, I watch very little of it, but there's no mention of Christ. It's all Santa Claus, the North Pole, and all that crap. And I see where the USDA gave Santa Claus permission to come across the border, so he should be better off. He must have got a pass of some sort.
Yeah,
but it's just bizarre.
I've made many people mad with that conversation. You know, same thing here is I don't. Why would you want to not only lie, but then like try to lie and defend that lie for 18 years or however long you want to you know, to deceive your children. And so we never did the Santa Claus thing, and I've had a bunch of discussions with other folks, and I've told them, you know, I work hard for what we have, and thankfully we are blessed, but I don't want to give credit for some presents that I bought to my children to bless them and, you know, see the smile on their faces and not have them hug me and thank me for it. No, they're thinking some fat guy in a magic sled, you know, dropped it down the chimney. And that's not what I want. You know, I want them to know how much I love them and I care about them and I want the best for them. And, you know, try not
well,
to
well, Santa and Satan have the same letters. You just rearrange them a little bit, and you can take Santa and you can rearrange it, and you got the word Satan. And that's what they want you to – they want you to believe that Santa does exist, and they want you to believe that Satan doesn't exist.
Good work.
And you got to watch those preachers when they try to tell you that Satan doesn't exist.
Absolutely. Well, and claws, Satan gets his claws in people that way through Santa Claus or any number of – it's strange how they, you know, want to rearrange every single we kind of chuckle because it's like, yeah, they can't seem to get it done with Thanksgiving. They've tried. I mean, it frustrates me when you say Happy Thanksgiving and somebody says, oh, Happy Turkey Day to you. It's like, it's not a turkey day. It's – hey, I don't care what you eat for Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, you know, it's a day to be thankful for what God gave you, you know. Thankful to who? To God.
Yeah, and they use so many counterfeits on so many different, you know, fronts. I mean, they do it on, and they try to take all our holidays away from us and turn them into something else. And they take the characters away, and they try to replace them with other characters. I mean, it's
exactly,
you know, that's what they do, and like, and it's just part of what Paul said earlier. They come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yep, and it's part of that lie they, you know, that causes depression and causes you know, I mean, do you know Santa Claus is a lie? Yeah, you do, but you're out there proliferating it. So what kind of, you know, I mean, Joe Public. So what kind of joy and cheer and rejoicing does that spread? You know, here's a big lie. Have fun. A nice lie sandwich for you. Yeah, great.
Well, you know, back to that Thanksgiving, it has changed. The culture of America has changed. America was founded by immigrants, but they were immigrants from white European countries. And as a condition of coming to America, you had to learn English. To legally come, you had to pass, once things got going, you had to pass an exam on the U.S. Constitution, and then you had to integrate yourself into the existing society and culture. And that was a growth, you know, from the English or the Irish need not apply up into modern day. And you weren't allowed to come in and set up separate cultures and you spoke English and things like that. And it's just not that way today. You got millions of these unrelated cultures just walking across the border, and it's by design. It is to destroy what's left of the Christian American Republic culture, and destroying Thanksgiving is part of that. Certainly, is part of that. And replace it with this Tower of Babel type of nation of anything goes. And when you have that, you know, they really are. Enemies are pushing for that demonocracy to where they can get that 51% of the vote. And if 51%, you know, the way they want it, vote that Christianity and reading the Bible is a hate crime. Well, that's, you know, we've seen parts of that. I don't know if you saw, but, you know, our new Speaker of the House, Johnson, he proclaims to be a Christian. And the media is trolling. They're coming against him, blasting him, fishing, I think, saying that, you know, years ago he took his daughter to a purity ball and they dressed up. He had a tux on. She had a dress. It looked almost like a wedding dress. No, it wasn't a wedding, folks. It was a purity ball. And the pressure that they put on these young girls to go and to not have sex before marriage. This is horrible, people. Have you seen it? And that's how they put it out. That he's like some pervert in doing this. Instead of being that, like you said, Josh, wanting your children to know that you love them and you work hard for them and we teach and train our children in the right way, the proper way. And they're just coming against him and his wife like white on rice. That how dare they do something like this? This guy's a professing Christian. How can he be Speaker of the House? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we talk about Christian persecution might be worse in Ghana, where they're cutting people's arms off, and in Muslim countries where they're beheading people. And that is tough. But it doesn't mean that there's not a war against anything and everything Christian here in this nation, to destroy the symbols, to destroy the remembrance, to destroy the anything and everything that has to do with Christianity, and to present it as evil. And you know, this is just another way of it in doing that very thing. And when it's not taught in the schools, when it's not allowed in the businesses, when it's not when it's turned away in the government, it's like the old when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Well, if Christianity's outlawed, it might be only the outlaws that are Christians. And we're living that. We are seeing that it is. And I've seen in news articles and different people writing, referencing that proverbial frog in the boiling pot of water more and more and more, because more people are seeing it for what it is. And that is just getting more and more and more and more. Anyway.
I saw a bumper sticker, I think, the day before yesterday. There were some bumper stickers that were for sale, and said, "Don't Californicate Wyoming." And, you know, just thinking about how true that is, that the folks that are not just in the city, but in California, different places, they go there and they ruin whatever place they live. And then they want to move out into the country because it's better. But then they set out to make the country the city. You know, the same crap hole they just give all this effort to move out of once they get there, you know. And that they are, just like I talked about earlier, they're devourers, they're destroyers, they're parasites. They can't help themselves. It's in their nature. And they never quit trying to push in that direction. But we should never quit saying no. I mean, that frog in the pot of water, like what you're talking about, Richard, you know, if that frog would keep jumping out and turning the burner back down, he'd probably be all right, you know. Yeah, he never has to quit doing it, or maybe not for some time, but at least the water wouldn't be getting hotter on him. And if we would just stand up for ourselves and for each other and for our brethren whenever somebody's coming against your neighbor and, you know, wanting to rezone their place and drive the taxes up where they can't afford to keep it, you know, we should stand with them, because it's the right thing to do first. But then secondly, guess what happens once they get his? Then they're coming for yours, you know. And a lot of times people don't worry about that, as long as they just want to sit over there and do their thing and be peaceful and not be bothered. But what affects your brother affects you.
Yeah, a good point. And, you know, they have this, like down where I'm at, they got this new planning or, you know, zoning committee, and it's a committee. They don't really make laws, but they're people of the community that report to the county commissioners on what they want to see happen in the rural areas of, you know, not being in the incorporated part of town. And everybody that's on that, or everybody that signed up for it, has lived here less than 3 years. And they come in, like you said, they come in and they don't like where they're from, but they come in and they want to change it or they want to keep it. We want to keep it just the way that it is, and then they talk about all the changes that they want. You know, the same thing is down in Larimer County, down in Fort Collins, in the Old Town District part of town. You know, they've got somebody down there that he wants to come in and wants to help change it and make it better. And, you know, he's from San Francisco and wants to come in and, you know, right now they've got laws of, you know, pack and stack in houses and tearing down the old houses and putting apartment complexes up. And that's one of the things that they want to change because, oh, we need, you know, affordable housing and we want this and that and everything like that. And it's like, okay, well, if you liked it so much, why'd you leave it and move out west?
Yep.
I've mentioned
we east or where, you know, leave the area. You know, go to the Rocky Mountains. Oh, we want to move to the country. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got a neighbor.
I've seen people do that too. They break off and start a church, and they go right back to where they came from. That's when the dog says return to his vomit. They start a church, and it's identical to what they left. You know, there's no major differences, but they think they can make that difference, and they can't. Because they don't know. You know, there's just very, very little true Christianity around the people. There's just a huge amount of religious people. So, and they don't know the difference. There's nothing crazier than a religious politician. I talked to a man the other day.
Oh, go ahead.
I got two of them here not very far from me, and they think they're going to go, this guy come out, we're going to make laws against China owning land in Michigan. I threw the thing in the wigs back or the jackass. I mean, the horse is out of the pen. Now shut the door. Huh? That makes a lot of sense. So then he don't even know what's wrong. He don't have what it takes to change it.
Yeah, I talked to a guy the other day, and he was telling me, he says, you know, he said, I thought for the longest time I was searching to find the perfect church, and he said it took me a long time to realize when I found the perfect church and joined it that it wasn't perfect anymore. And you know, it really tells a story.
Hey guys, we got time. Let's try to take a phone call real quick. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers. This is Terry from Warrensburg.
Good morning, Terry.
I just want to tell you I got blessed this week. Wednesday, when I went to town, I picked up an electric bike. It's probably about, I don't know how old it is. Got a 45-volt motor, top speed 37 miles per hour, 2-inch tires, heavy frame, just what I need. I mean, I could have used this when I wasn't able to use my, you know, pedal my bike. I've gotten, and I can hook my trailer to it. Oh, it's perfect. And the guy was asking $500 for it, and I looked at it. The chain's rusty, and maybe a lot of, you know, but it ran. The guy that at the gas station where I got it, he took a test ride, and he did 20 miles per hour, and he said, yeah, everything works fine, everything. And easy to push. When I bought it, I could push it. And I said, well, I'll give you $400. He says, well, I'll tell you what, if you've got $300 cash, it's yours. And I thought about it, and I started riding up the road, and it was always on my mind. So I said, well, yeah, I just, the Holy Spirit telling me this is what you need to do. I called and I said, I want the bike. So I went down, I paid $200 all ahead of time. And I said, talk to John, the owner. You know, I need a bill of sale and all the, manual, whatever he's got. And you know, whenever you get that, we'll get the whole thing taken care of. Isn't that wonderful?
Terry, what a blessing that is. It sounds like it was just meant to be. That's what Zach was talking about earlier, you know, that God blesses his people. He does. So, well, hey, thanks for letting us know, and best of luck with that. You have to send us a picture sometime of that thing. God bless, brother. You know, we don't think about that all the time, about what a just something as simple as that can be as a blessing. But, you know, a bike in Terry's life, Terry doesn't have a vehicle to drive around. That's good. That is a positive thing.
Yeah, it's we only got a few more minutes left. Anybody have any closing comments that they'd like to close out with?
Yeah, I'd like to read Amos 5:21. God says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. And that's what he feels with, you know, this holiday thing, that we have this mixed, double-mindedness. We're just trying to make a bad and best situation. But see, when the church is oppressed, it will grow. It's just like building a fire. If you have a little thing, you keep containing the heat, and it gets bigger. And when the church is oppressed, it will grow. And that it's going to be oppressed even more day in, day out. So, end of story.
But also, that pressure is good for us. And, I mean, we know that's how diamonds are made, just through that intense heat and pressure. Burning that dross out from the silver. And hopefully, at some point, we'll get to that point where we can say we've never had a bad thing happen to us. Because, you know, we realize that every step we took was taking us to where we needed to be.
Amen. Hey, about you, Tim? You got any closing thoughts?
I just want to say that I don't think America was ever designed to be a melting pot. That's their famous phrase. God says it was a refining fire, and there's a refinement process going on, and we need to embrace it and continue to make ourselves stronger, more pure, and more refined before our God. And there's always impurities and work that needs to be done, but he's patient and just. So there's still time, and there's just some effort required on our part. It's prayer, but he's there for us.
Amen. And, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here with us, and remember to join us tomorrow morning by going to scriptures4america.org. We're going to have a live message there from the church. And, we'll be there with the message anyway. And then let us know if you want, if you would like any of these messages by Pastor Peters on the subject of Christmas, and want to tell people again, you know, we've had quite a few people that have wrote in, called in, requested to get on the Dragon Slayer mailing letter newsletter list. And if you'd like to receive our magazine, you can shoot us an email, write to jason@sfaw.org, and we'll add you onto the list. Make sure you include your address, and we'll do that. We also, Richard's working on the online newsletter, so we'll be mailing that out here hopefully in the next couple of days. We've got a lot of people that works really well for them to get it electronically. It seems like that's the way of the future. But either way, we'd like to get the information out. The article is Rejoice Always, and it's a good end-of-the-year article to close out with, something that Pastor Peters had written years ago, and we thought it'd just be something that's really good to close the year out with, and really good article. I think it'd be a blessing to you. So if you'd like that, just contact us and we'll get you put on the list.
Sounds good. Well, guys, thanks. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to encourage the remnant. And remnant, like Jason said, join us at church tomorrow at scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and at 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll see you there. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
this country stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will.